Lions fans, can you believe it? It's NFC Championship weekend, and our Detroit Lions are going to be playing in the NFC Championship game. That is unbelievable, that is awesome, and that is something that we'll never forget, even if the score becomes forgetful. And we hope it's not. I mean, we really hope it's not. But let's first remember this moment, because the Lions, for the first time in my lifetime, for the first time in 31 years, have made the NFC Championship game. And the first thing I have to say is, no matter what happens in this game, it has been a great season. It's been a great season by this team. They won 12 games, if you listen to the 53-man roster preview. I predicted this team would win 12 games, win the North, get a home playoff game. Anything after that was a bonus. And two home playoff wins is 1,000% a bonus. I'm going to talk more about the Lions here in just a little bit. But what I will also talk about here is something very, very disturbing that I saw from Woodward Sports. I'm going to rant about them for a little bit here. Justin Spiro, who hosts the Spiro Avenue show, I believe he is out of East Lansing, big Spartan. Of course, we know how much of a fan I am of the Spartans. I'm not. But when it comes to people, I like good people. And Justin, if you're listening to this, you are invited on the show at any time to talk Michigan State. I appreciate you and appreciate the people that you have had on your show. Some of them I know, including Chris Castellani, Natalie Kerwin, et al. He's brought in some good people, and he posted a tweet. And I quote, "Is Woodward Sports hiring? Great culture. I want in." The CEO, apparently his name is Chad Johnson, owns Lady Jane's near the Detroit area. "I received this tweet. I did not receive the group text, of course, but I saw this tweet, and I've already reposted on the podcast Twitter, that this guy has given an expletive-laden text sequence to his group chat, including 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 9, 10 different people received this group of, received this text. I'm not going to read a lot of it. I'm going to let you read it online. But, again, I will bleep out the words. But a couple of the texts include, "Art, do what the F I want if you want to keep a job. Don't make me effing say it again." The simplest bleep, "You effing guys can never figure out. Do you actually effing think that I'm in that building right now and that they don't look the F up, they will be effing fired. Tell them to look the F up if they want to keep their effing job. How about that?" And that's all I'm going to read of this text. And I've bleeped it out pretty well. Again, read it on the podcast, Twitter, and formulate opinions as you wish. But here's what I'm going to say. And Woodward Sports, I had better listen to this because they might not be in business for very long if they do not listen to what I have to say. And what I have to say is, Woodward Sports I have respected over the past few years. And it's because they brought in a lot of younger talent to try to get kind of, you know, get them fresh into the sports world, get them started, get them rolling, and possibly either help them start their own little thing, grow within the network, or perhaps move elsewhere in the nation. And I was never really happy that I was never given any sort of contact, ever sort of opportunity there. I've never really reached out to them, but I have met one member of Woodward Sports. I will not say who. It's not bad. It's just don't want their name to get laced into the rant. But what I will say is that if what I saw was completely and utterly true, the text chain that I saw that Spiro has retweeted, Chad Johnson had better apologize, and he better apologize right now. He better apologize to every single member of that of that department. He should do the honorable thing and resign. He should never think about hosting something like that again. And I talked to my old man about it, and I'm not going to talk too exclusively about, of course, family on the show. But I showed the text to the old man, and he said he's setting himself up for a lawsuit. Take at it what you will. But what I'm saying is you have to treat your employees with respect, honor, and courage. And what I saw from that text group was far from honor and courage. Of course, I'm not going to get into it too much, but I've worked in an environment that was pretty toxic. Previous job before my day, my current day job. Again, I'm not going to talk about it too much because I still live in the area of the day job and the previous job. But the previous job definitely had its toxic moments. The toxicity moments was never like what I read in this text message bubble. And currently, Woodward Sports is not doing anything about it. They're not doing a damn thing about it. And they're making a big mistake. Let me tell you. Because you have to have a good environment for your employees to learn, work, grow, and thrive. And that environment, from what I've seen in that group of text messages, and who knows, maybe Johnson could have been on something. I don't know. I'm not going to judge. But you have to have a solid establishment where you can work, grow, and thrive. And those three things were far from present in that text message and those messages that I saw. End rant. If anybody from Woodward wants to come on and defend themselves, they can. Open forum. But they've lost my respect. They've completely lost my respect until there is an apology issued. And I've heard that there was a $5,000 giveaway that still has not been given at the time of the recording of the show. That is also wrong. And there also should be an apology and maybe even some inflation interest on that. Just saying. Just saying. Anyway, we have positive vibes here in the Tom Green Podcast because that's who we want to be here is positive. Let's go to the positive, shouldn't we? And the positive is moving on to this NFC Championship game. It's sad that I had to rant about that, but I had to, you know. I can't just let a group of people that I see treated like that just let it go, you know what I mean? Anyway, moving to the Lions in the NFC Championship game. In San Francisco, the number one seed, like I had said before my rant, anything from here on out is a bonus. And getting to this stage, getting to Championship Sunday, where we are one of the top four teams in the entire National Football League, is a definite bonus. Let's go through the injury report real fast. This is as of Thursday. Jonah Jackson, Chase Lucas, Frank Ragnow, and Khalif Raymond did not practice. In fact, Raymond has been ruled out. So has Jonah Jackson, as of the injury report that I just received a few minutes ago. Alex Anzalone, Sam Laporta, Josh Reynolds, Anzalone, Laporta, and Reynolds all left practice. Houston was a full practice. San Francisco, Bosa, and Trent Williams were not specified. Debo Samuel left practice, not a surprise there. Eric Armstead, Dre Greenlaw, George Odom, Ambry Thomas, and Kalia Davis were all full practices. So there's a little bit of a look at your injury report. And big thing, of course, is the Lions signing Zach Ertz. And the question I have for Brad Holmes and the Detroit Lions front office is, why wasn't this done 2 weeks earlier? It is a great signing. It's the signing that I wanted them to do 2 weeks ago, okay? But the thing is, why wasn't this done 2 weeks earlier? Ertz could have had 2 weeks to completely learn this playbook and get on this team and be ready to go for this NFC Championship game. Now it's 50-50. I mean, yes, they're going to bring him up. They had him on the practice squad for 3 days. Probably intensive practices for those 3 days. But this could have been done 2 weeks ago. And maybe even Laporta could have sat wildcard weekend to really rest up that knee. So I criticize it a little bit, but I am grateful that it happened. Because it needed to happen. You have a backup tight end that has Super Bowl experience. Remember the Philly special? Zach Ertz was a part of that. Okay, Trey Burton might have thrown the pass, but still, my point is Ertz was a part of that Philly special team. He has the Super Bowl experience that you want to have on this team in this part of the playoffs. Because who they're going up against is no slouch. I have been saying it a lot to peers. I really haven't said it a lot on the show. That I feel the San Francisco 49ers are on a mission. They are on a freaking mission. Because they were close to a Super Bowl 10 years ago in the Super Bowl, is what I call it. Some people call it the Harbowl. You say potato, I say tomato. Others say bourbon and Coke. But nonetheless, they have been very close since. They have been to another Super Bowl since. The 2020 Super Bowl before everything went down. Patrick Mahomes came back from 10 points down. And they and the Niners have been hungry ever since. So you think they're just going to lie down? Oh, no, they are not. San Francisco, at the time of this recording, is a 7-point favorite. 74.1% against 25.9% on the matchup predictor. Quarterback advantage, you might have to say Goff. 4,575 yards, but one more interception than Purdy. Rushing department, you have CMC on their side. 1,459 yards against a duo of Montgomery and Gibbs. Receiving yards, you got to give it to Amon-Ra, even though Ayuk has the lead there. And it's a question mark if Deebo Samuel can play. I've heard that he has been ruled out. I've heard that he is still evaluating. But nonetheless, it would be huge if Samuel is ruled out. But even without Samuel, they still beat Green Bay without Samuel. And what I will say about the Niners and Green Bay game is that Jordan Love played a spectacular game, and the Green Bay Packers played as spectacular of a game as they could in that environment. And they still lost. Played with house money, if you want to think about it, because the Niners had the pressure on them. Well, in this particular instance, yes, Detroit is playing with house money. Yes, they have momentum on their side, because San Francisco is coming off a game where they were iffy. I do not believe the Niners played their best game of the season when it mattered. But because they played a 7-seed Packers that was very happy to be there, they were lucky. They were sort of lucky. But luck can turn into skill. Keys to the game. Keys for the Niners. We've heard of Run DMC. Well, Run CMC. I'm sure that's been a huge thing out there in the Bay Area. Run CMC. CMC scores. CMC gets touches. CMC does well. Should have won the Heisman in 2015, as we all remember. Run the ball with CMC. The secondary on Detroit is, I still feel I have question marks about that secondary. A lot of teams have looked at Aaron Glenn as their next head coach. I don't see it. Attack the secondary with, if you have Deebo Samuel. If not, Brandon Ayuk, Ronnie Bell, the Michigan man. Attack the secondary and get turnovers. I've said it many times before on the show, turnovers are great at Arby's, but not on the field. If you can do that, San Francisco will advance to their second Super Bowl in the last four years, and have a chance at six, as their quest for six has been for a long time. Keys for Detroit, Jahmyr Gibbs and David Montgomery in the backfield. Oh, man, if both can find the end zone once, you have a chance. You got to imagine that Lenore or Ward will be on Amon-Ra. So now you have to get the passing game going with LaPorta and Reynolds. Remember, Reynolds was used quite well in the game against the Rams. Maybe Josh Reynolds might have to be the guy that steers this team to its first Super Bowl ever. They have never even been in a Super Bowl. Detroit hasn't, let alone winning one. Running game, Josh Reynolds, and get the stop. I've criticized this defense before on the show where I feel that they are more focused on getting the turnover, whereas getting the stop could help them. This is where they need to focus on getting that stop. Turnovers are a bonus. As far as the game goes, I have a feeling that San Francisco is going to win this game by two or more scores. I hope that I am wrong, and I hope that I come on this show next week and tell you that I am way wrong. But that's my feeling right now, is that Niners 31, Lions 17. I think Detroit can score, but I don't think they can score enough on the San Francisco offense. I hope I'm wrong, and I hope that we'll be talking about the Super Bowl with the Detroit Lions in it in a couple of weeks from now. But as for this, Lions fans, let's just enjoy the moment and enjoy this day, Sunday. Because even if the Lions lose, like I said before, even if the Lions lose by two plus scores, it was still a great season. And we'll see if it advances by 2 weeks. But we'll see. Shoutouts quick to Sydney, Cariel, and Jake Ritma. Was hoping to get them on the show this week to talk Lions-Niners. Ritma, formerly of Detroit. Cariel, formerly of WJRT, ABC 12, and ABC 7 in Detroit. Worked with another friend of mine, Gina Trotman. Good people. Hoping to get them on the show at some point, and we're working towards that. I look forward to that conversation, definitely. I know Sydney will say, go Niners. I say, go Lions. All grit, one pride. And we'll see what happens next week. Let's enjoy this championship Sunday, and let's have some fun.